ein Test übernommen sind.
Good morning. Today is Chof Av, and I'm sure many of you will remember the Mishnah in Tainus discusses this day of Chof Av. Anybody remember? It's the Mishnah Gemara. So the Mishnah says, Tainus Chof Av, it says that there was a Zman Atzei HaKohanim Ba'om, there were days when different families were allotted a time they could bring their korban etzim, they would bring their wood donations for the Lishkan, the Beis HaMikdosh. And one of these days was actually Chof Av. So it says, Be'esrim Bo, Lenei Pachas Moyov Ben Yehuda, right? So on the 20th of Av was the day for that family. What's the story? The Gemara explains that when they came back from Bavel, the loy motzi etzim balishka. They didn't find wood in the lishka in the storehouse in the Beis HaMikdash, and various families brought their donations of wood. So, in recognition of this tremendous mitzvah, the Nevi'im at that time, they made a takana that this day would be given to that family in future generations. That even if there would be plenty of wood in the Beis HaMikdash, then this family would have the zechus that their wood would be used on that day. Right, so this became a yomta for that day, and that day was also for Tanesim and Hespedim and so on. Even one of the mishpachas whose day was Yud Av, right, Bnei Sanor ben Binyamin, there's a quote later on in the Gemara that one time Tisha B'Av was nidcha like this year, and Tisha B'Av fell out on Yud Av, which was their day, so they didn't finish the Tainis because it was their yomtov day. Right? It's a very choshev yomtov. So that's what happened on the day. Now, the Loshim, by the way, I found very perplexing, because when they came back from Golos in Bava, there was no Beis HaMikdosh. So it seems to me to be rather odd that the Gemara should say, Lo Motzu Eitzim Balishka. They didn't find wood in the Lishka. There was no Lishka, there was no Beis HaMikdosh at all. Right? So I looked in different Farshim, I didn't see any answers. If you have an answer, please tell me. It occurred to me that probably there were different, because there were different stages in the return from Golos Bavel, it could be that this story didn't happen right at the beginning. So the first group came back with Zerubbabel and Yeshua, the Kohen, right, Kohen, and they already started building the Beis HaMikdash, and later on things ground to a halt, and there was a stop because of the Malshinus, the Shomronim and the people around there who wanted to have a chelik in it, the Yidden wouldn't let them, so they mustered them to the authorities, the Persians. And later on, things went 15 years, I think, they stopped building the Beis HaMikdash. And then Ezra came back, and then later on Nehemiah. So at one point during this, there was a Beis HaMikdash, but there were no supplies in the Beis HaMikdash. They ran out of wood. So look, that was probably what it means. So who are these people? Who are these Bnei Pachas Moav? So the Gemara discusses, and there's actually a Machloikas, which is a very unusual thing, because generally we don't have a Machloikas in the Metzias. How can you argue about a fact? But there's a machloikas, and the machloikas is, the Gemara says in Daf Chof Ches in Tainis, it says that Tana, we have a braisa, Bnei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda, Hein Bnei David ben Yehuda, right? So the first opinion is Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that family are the descendants of David HaMelech. Remember that the 10 Shvatim had already disappeared into Golos before, so they're only left with 2 Shvatim. Most of these families were from Shevi Yehuda. There's only one family quoted here as being from Shevet Binyamin. That was the family of Nesanoah ben Binyamin. They were on Yud Av. And there's another date which was used for the Kohanim and the Levim. By the way, the name, interesting, Zaman Atzei Kohanim V'Ha'om, the Kohanim only had one day, which was Chamisha Asar B'Av. And the people who didn't know which family they came from would celebrate that day as well. If you knew you had a Yichus from one of these families, so you would celebrate Chamisha Asar B'Av if you didn't know which was your family's Yom Tov day. So the family of David from Yehuda, and that's Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Hein Bnei Yoav ben Tzeruya. Right? So who was Yoav? Yoav was David's nephew, Ben Tzeruya being David's sister, and he was the Sarad Sova of David. So what is the Machlokas here? So that's the Gemara. And a similar Machlokas concerning also the next month on Chof Elul. Right, Chof Elul, we have another family whose identity is debated in the Gemara as well. So, what's special about this Terumah? How do we understand the Machlokas anyway? So someone has to be wrong, surely. Can't both be right. If you remember, there's a Gemara in Soito which discusses the identity of the wife of Elazar HaKoyin, right? Elazar ben Aaron. Lokach lo mi benois Putiel lo leisho. Who is Putiel? So one day is Putiel is Yisro, Shepitim Agolim Lavoy Dezor, right? And the other day is Yosef, Shepit be Yisro. So who's right? So the Maskon in the Gemara there in Soito is that they're both right. And if his mother was from Yisro, then his father was from, right, from Yosef or vice versa. So he had to connect with the same family with the Yichus from both Yisro and from Yosef. So the same thing here is Mustabek to say that this family was descended, Sai from David HaMelech and Sai from Yoav. So what's the question? The question isn't who they were, or who they came from, who was the ancestor. The question is, what was the main reason that they made this tremendous Nadova? What motivated them more than anybody else on this special day? So to understand that, we have to look what's so unusual about the day they brought their Korban Eitzim. What was unusual about Chof Av today? And also Chof Elul, the same Machloikas. So earlier on, the Gemara discussed from Chamisha Osobov, which was last week, Toshash Koicha Shulchama. So the sun becomes weaker. The height, the heat, and the strong sunlight has already come to an end. The sun is weaker. And therefore, the wood won't be as dry, and there is a chashash that people cutting wood might getting wood which might have worms in it. And you can't use wood with worms. You remember in the Beis HaMikdash, they had Kohanim, the Balimum, part of their job was to check the wood. But they wouldn't cut wood if they knew the wood was likely to have worms in it. So after Chamisha Osah Ba'av, that was the Siyum, Yom Tovah Magol. They broke the axe, right? Literally or figuratively, but they made a siyum. That's the mockup for the idea of siyum in the Torah. They made a siyum on Chamisha Osah Ba'av. It seems on that day they actually did cut wood. So anybody bringing wood up to and including Chamisha Osah Ba'av, they can go out in the morning, the same day, cut wood and take it straight to the Beis HaMikdash. And they can replace it as well with wood of the same quality. However, people wanting to bring wood on Chof Av or Chof Elul, for them is a big problem because they can't just go out and cut wood. You can't cut wood at that time of the year. So they had to think in advance, they had to plan it out in advance, and they had to make sure that they had their wood ready a long time before they wanted to go to the Beis HaMikdash. It requires more thought. Not only that, what they're giving away is actually irreplaceable because you can't obtain the same quality wood anymore. So that requires more mysterious nefesh than the earlier groups, the earlier families. So the Gemara's question is, what was the reason that they had this mysterious nefesh? Was it because they were descended from David HaMelech? It was about mysterious nefesh, or because they came from Yoav? Now, what's the difference between David and Yoav? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in Mole Yoav, Ulama David Torah. In Mole David, Lo Asa Yoav Milchama. So they both needed each other. So David, at the beginning of his life, he was in charge of his army, but later on, the army was given over to his nephew, to Yoav. So because Yoav was fighting and successfully defending Klal Yisrael, that means that David HaMelech had a free head. He didn't have to get involved with the military business, and he could sit and learn Torah. So the apostle says, right, he David Oise Mishpat, right? The Yoav ben Tzruya al HaTzava. So the Gemara connects the two together. Because Yoav ben Tzruya was al HaTzava, that enabled David to be Oise Mishpat, Stok, and etc. Right? Had Yoav not done that, David wouldn't have been able to learn Torah in the same way with such a clear mind. So each of them has their speciality. It's Alderech, probably like Yisachar and Zvulun. So Yisachar needs Zvulun, Zvulun needs Yisachar. And in fact, it's not just that the Limud HaTorah of David is helping Yoav, it's more than that. Yoav actually has a share in the Torah of David. It's not just David's Zechus, it's Yoav's Zechus, because he has a share in the Torah of, just like Yisachar has a share, and Zvulun has a share in each other's business, right? So the Zvulun, through their business, has a share in the Torah of Yisachar. It's not just that the Zechus helps them, they have a share in the actual mitzvah itself. So each one has their speciality. So the question is, what's greater? What are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on David HaMelech's Mesiris Nefesh, his Limud HaTorah, and tremendous Anivus, and right, the way he was given over totally to judging Klal Yisrael and learning Torah Lishma? Or is the Mesiris Nefesh of Yoav greater? He went to the Pashtos, the Gashmis, to fight the enemies, right? Could have got killed. So what was more of an inspiration to their descendants? So Lishitosom, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi each picked on a different aspect. They're both true, Elu for Elu. Definitely both true. The families were affected by having such illustrious ancestors, no question. The question is, what was the main factor here? Now, Rabbi Meir was so great that the halacha was not like him. That seems to be a bit of a contradiction. But they couldn't understand Rabbi Meir. So they wouldn't paskin like him because they didn't understand his reason. He was saying, Al Tomei Tohor, and he was beyond everybody else. Rabbi Nahoy Roy, there's a day his name was Rabbi Nahoy Roy. Meir is Lashon Or. So he's looking beyond the world. Rabbi Meir is focusing on light, Torah Or. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, he's so far beyond this world that he's looking at David HaMelech learning Torah, and Rabbi Meir said he felt that this is it. This is the greatest inspiration. This is the Mesiras Nefesh, which is most important. Therefore, it must be the fact they were descendants of David HaMelech that inspired and motivated his descendants to bring this amazing Korban Eitzim on Chof Ov. Or maybe Chof Elul as well. So that's what Rabbi Meir's opinion was. Rabbi Meir is Lashon Or. In the Chazal tell us in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, there was a difference. You know what the difference was? There was Aleph. We have Kosnos Or, that after the Chet, Kodesh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava, Kosnos Or with a Ayin, mean coverings for their skin or coverings of skin. Rabbi Meir had Aleph, Kosnos Or, meaning light. Yeah? So we have Psu Dako as well. You've also got Hay and Aleph today. So Kosnos Or, there's a light. There was a light shining around them, an aura of some type, a force field, whatever it was. There's a light shining around them. So it's amazing. So Rabbi Meir is looking at the light beyond the world. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is focusing on David HaMelech's Mesiras Nefesh. And he attributed their tremendous Mesiras Nefesh bringing this wood on that day because they were descendants of David HaMelech. Now, Rabbi Yossi. What's Rabbi Yossi's Shitta? So there's a Mishnah we've got. This week we have Perek Dalet, Pirkei Avos, right? So it's interesting. There's a Mishnah we have this week from Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaMechabed Es HaTorah, Gufa Mechubad Al HaBrios. Kol HaMechale Es HaTorah, Gufa Mechubad Al HaBrios. So what's Rabbi Yossi telling you? And why is it Rabbi Yossi telling you this anyway? Anybody could have said it. Why is he the Bala Memra? What's going on here in this Mishnah? You can see there's a story in the Medrash about a Roman matriarch who came to ask Rabbi Yossi questions. Now, you don't have to ask questions asked by a goy, especially if it's not noge to the Shefer Mitzvahs B'Ninoach. You're not supposed to be teaching Torah to goyim. We have a chiyuv to educate them with their Shefer Mitzvahs, right? She's coming and asking very interesting questions. What is a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing since he finished creating the world? That's her question. Rabbi Yossi could have said, I'm busy, I don't know. He could have fobbed it off easily, but he didn't. And Rabbi Yossi said to her, he's making shidduchim. A famous story. So she laughed and she said, making shidduchim? That's easy. I can also make shidduchim. I have thousands of avodim servants, maid servants, male servants, female servants. So I'll pair them off. So she took 1,000 men, 1,000 women, paired them off at random in different rooms in the morning, broken legs, right? Eyes blackened and they, right? And she sees that none of the shidduchim work. What happened? Oh, I don't like him. I don't like her. No, none of her shidduchim worked out. Next day she summons Rabbi Yossi. She said, your God is so great. She said, I told you. For him, for Kodesh Baruch, it's Koshek Kikriyas Yamsuf, the Shidduchim. Right? Yesh Omrim, that he said a different thing to her. He said, the Kodesh Baruch is making Sulamois. Now, Sulamois ladders, I always thought that referred to Paranasa. But I saw one of the Mephoroshim there. He brings interesting that ladders, it's got to do with Shidduchim as well. Because sometimes for a person to find the right Shidduch, you have to be rich, and sometimes you have to be poor. So let's say Yitzhak Avinu stayed home in the wealthy family, in the wealthy house of his father, Avraham, and that's where he found his shidduch, because his kala came to him. Mashenken Yaakov had to be a poor, destitute shepherd for him to get his shidduch in. So the Sulamos refers to the Paranasa, the wealth level impacted on in the shidduchim as well. Whatever he said to her, anyway, you can see Rabbi Yossi was very interested in the Kovod HaTorah. Meaning, how do people, even Goyim, what do Goyim think about the Torah? Rabbi Yossi was going out of his way to make sure that she would respond, as she said at the end, right? At the end she responded, Taroschem no'o meshubachas, right? How great is your good, how great is your Torah, how wonderful is your, right? Wonderful is your Torah. It's a praiseworthy, it's an amazing thing. So he enhanced the honor of the Torah in the eyes of the non-Jewish world. And that's also Kal Vachomer by Yidden as well. By Rabbi Yossi it says the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi because nimukoi imoi, meaning he always had the reason. So you... If your Talmidim understand your reasons, this gives them more cheshek and more covet for Torah as well. So Rabbi Yossi is looking not at Torah per se beyond the world. Rabbi Yossi is actually looking at the effect the Torah has on the world, right? Now, who is impacting more directly on the world? David HaMelech or Yoav? Well, obviously, David HaMelech's Torah is bringing bracha and shmirah to Klal Yisrael, etc. But Yoav is the one going out defeating the enemies. So Yoav is changing the world directly. Yoav is actually in the world, changing the world. Part of the task of Klal Yisrael is to make Osuli Mikdash, or Shachanti Besoicha, making a dir b'tachtoinim for Hashem. So Yoav was doing that directly, and Rabbi Yossi, therefore, was focusing on the Mesiras Nefesh of Yoav rather than David HaMelech, although both were true. Notice, Yossi, Yud, Vav, Samach, Yud, with apologies, Rabbi Chazan, right? Yud, Vav, Samach, Yud adds up to 86, which is Elohim, right? Which is Hashem as in manifest in Teva, in nature. So Rabbi Yossi is focusing on nature. Rabbi Meir is looking beyond nature. So that's as far as we are concerned, right? As far as we're concerned, the main thing is the Mesiras Nefesh, these people. And we have to be inspired by that. That's the inyan of Chof Ov, Mesiras Nefesh giving away. Now, who are you giving the wood to? If it's wood for your private korban, that's not really such Avas Yisrael. That's not Mesiras Nefesh. I bring a korban, I bring my own wood, but you can't do that. The wood has to be shel tzibur. You've got to give it to the tzibur. The wood was used for the korban tzibur, obviously, in which they had a chedik. But not just that, even people who did aveiras, chalila, then they had to bring a korban, chatas or osham. Where did the wood come from? From the donations bought by these b'nei Pachas Moav ben Yehuda. Pachas Moav, by the way, means the governor of Moav. And since they were both descended from Rus, obviously Yoav and David both came from Rus, therefore Pachas Moav, right? Pachas Moav ben Yehuda. They came from the royal family of Moav. I assume that's what it means. So, you're looking at this incredible Mesiras Nefesh of David and of Yoav. We have to be inspired by that, and today's the day of Mesiras Nefesh, if you like. Now, there's a difference, the Machlokas Bavli Rishalmi, an interesting Machlokas. Let's go back to Chamisha Asa Ba'av. Remember the story, Benois Yushalayim Yotzeis, V'cholos Bakramim. What did they do? No one was allowed to wear her own clothes. So all the girls of Shidduch age went out, but nobody was allowed to wear her own dress. Everybody had to borrow, shiloi levaye shishmi she'enlo, not to shame, and kola came to an intervila. No one was allowed to wear their own clothes, and just to, also to avoid embarrassment, everybody had to toivel whatever they borrowed, so nobody could feel upset that their clothes were being toivel, you're implying that I'm toivel. Now, who borrowed from whom? So in the Bavli, probably you're familiar, it says the highest rank is the king, followed by the Kohen Gadol, and then the Skan. So Bavli says that the Bas Melech borrowed from the Bas Kohen Gadol, who borrowed from the Bas Skan. It seems you couldn't borrow from sisters or mothers. It has to be from girls in the same, right, the same group. So, etc. So everybody's borrowing from somebody lower. Yushalmi has a different take on it. This is quite surprising. I saw this. Yushalmi says, forget. Everybody borrowed from somebody higher. Now, that actually makes sense. If you want to find a good shidduch, you want the nicest possible dress. So if you borrow from somebody who's poorer and of a lesser status than yourself, you're not going to get the best possible dress. You're much better off borrowing from a more wealthy person with nicer clothing. So that's probably why the Rishalmi says they should borrow from the higher people. The Bas Melech has no choice, because there's nobody higher than the Bas Melech. The royal princess has to borrow from the nearest person, who's the Bas Kohen Gadol. But the Bas Kohen Gadol did not do as the Bavli said and borrow from the, right? In that way, but the Bas Kohen Gadol borrowed from the Bas Melech, and the Bas Skan from the Bas Kohen Gadol. So they're going up. So what's the difference? Well, the advantage of borrowing from the higher person, you get better clothes. What's the disadvantage? It's embarrassing. You're going over to somebody of a higher rank than yourself and saying, can I borrow your best clothing? Now, the person lending you on a higher level is not going to get any nachas from you wearing their clothing. I had to give that poor girl my clothes, right? They don't get any nachas from it. You're not giving them anything. So it's embarrassing for the girl who's asking to borrow the dress. I couldn't understand this. My wife had to explain it to me twice before it finally penetrated, right? But I finally worked it out. I think if I borrowed someone's jacket, I wouldn't feel embarrassed. But girls, it works differently. So the girls would be embarrassed to ask from somebody higher up. So according to the Bavli, therefore, to avoid, and remember, the whole takana was to avoid embarrassment. So why would you tell them to borrow from somebody higher up? That's a busha. It's a shaming. It's embarrassing. So therefore, the Bavli says, to borrow from the lower girls. Now, if you borrow from somebody higher, what happens? You are embarrassed. You get better clothes, but the question is, what is machriya? Is it more important to avoid embarrassment and discomfort now, or the fact that you might have a chance in the future of a better shidduch because you look more attractive? What's machriya? So Bavli focuses on the hoiver, the present, exclusively the present. We need to know exactly what's going on now. The Bavli, the Gemara says, b'machashakim hoishivani, they're in golus, There's no clarity of vision in the Bavli. The Bavli constantly Tosh Shema, the Gemara is looking and searching. Yerushalmi is Toch Hazi, come and see. And it's much quicker because they could see. The Moshul has given the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi. A blind man going into a room trying to find something has to search all over. So in Bavli, they were in the Choshech, in Golos. They didn't know what the MS was, they had to search for it. Yerushalmi, like a sighted person coming in the room, Toch Hazi, come and see. There it is, I'm going straight there. So there's a clarity of vision in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi felt that because we know that ultimately it's a greater good for the girl to look better and maybe have a better shidduch, therefore it doesn't matter if she's slightly embarrassed at the moment. So the end result justifies the discomfort now, if you like. So this hachbodah color, this slight difficulty now is worth it. Bavli is in choyshech. So not clear what will happen, who knows, maybe she won't get a better shidduch, it was not, we don't know, understand, we've got to focus exactly where we are now. But that's the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi. So based on that, let's go back to Yoav and David. Now, the end result of Yoav going to Milchoma, what happened? So this gave peace to Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech had clarity. Yishuv Hadas could learn Torah and judge the people better. Question is Yoav Mechoyev to go to Milchoma or not? Well, he could tell David, listen, you know, you go lead the army. Why do I need to lead the army? I'll learn Torah. Why does he need to do that? So the question is Yoav's extending himself, endangering himself, is that justified so that David would learn Torah? So that's a machlokas, Bavli Yerushalmi. Well, later on, I'm not sure what age it would have been, right? So the question, so according to Bavli, we have to look at the present. Yoav's not mechuyev to go to Milchoma. The fact that David will learn better later on is not Yoav's problem. And he doesn't have to endanger himself just to enable that to happen. Masha'en Kain, according to Yerushalmi, we have to look at the long-term result, that David will learn better and be able to judge the people better. Therefore, Yoav is Mechuyev. Now, if you tell me Yoav is not Mechuyev to go to Milchoma, he's going Lifnei Mishur Sadin, which means, in a way, Yoav is greater. Which is why Rabbi Yossi is saying that Yoav is the fact that Yoav was their ancestor is more important, more inspirational. Masha'en Kain, according to Yerushalmi, Yoav had to go to Milchoma, he was Mechuyev, in order that David could learn and judge. And therefore, what he did wasn't any more exceptional than David, and David's mind of Limud Torah was Machriya. Right? So it's interesting, Bavli Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir, and as far as we're concerned, we have to have this total Mesuas Nefesh, whether you're a Baal Esek, or Yoshev Oil, whatever, Madriga, whatever you're doing with your life, then we have to do it with Mesuas Nefesh, and Torah Mitzvahs, and then this is Mashpi on the Kinder, Hein B'nei Yoav and B'nei David, it was the children that were inspired by the ancestors. No, we're running out of time a little bit. I have to. Yeah, I know. Now, what would happen if Chof Av this day falls out on Shabbos? So it's one of the things that the Gemara Megillah says, Ma'achrin v'lo Magdimim, like Tisha B'Av we had this year. Tisha B'Av Nidcheh, but you don't fast early. The Chagiga also, Korban Chagiga, right? It's not Doicha Shabbos. You can't do it before Shabbos. Gemara says, Lo Mata Zaman Chiyuvai. It's not the Zaman of the Chiyuv. By Tisha B'Av, Agdumi Peronis, Lo Magdimim. We don't make the punishment, the sad mourning happened earlier, right? The reason why we are Ma'achel, the Zaman Adze Kohanim Va'am, right? Why do we do it later? Gemara doesn't say. Rashi explains, it's not the Zaman Chiyuv yet. That's Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi on the Rif says a slightly different thing. Rashi on the Rif says, because the earlier group, each family brought a korban etzim, which lasted for days, weeks, months. So the earlier group don't want the next group taking over before their wood is finished. So it's like Hasagas Gevul. So therefore you can't go back and take away the last day of the previous group. So what would happen according to Rashi on the Rif? Obviously it's not written by Rashi. How machlokas, who was Rashi on the Rif, how reliable it is. But obviously if we can avoid the machlokas, it's better. So it's a fascinating situation here. What would happen if the previous group, the previous family, didn't care? They were happy to give away their day. What would happen in that case? So according to the Rashi on the Rif, it wouldn't matter. Then they could move back. They could, instead of being ma'achad, they could be makdim, because the previous people didn't mind. According to Rashi on the Gemara, you could not be makdim, because it's not the time of the neder. The neder was to bring on a certain day, and you can't do it early. So nafka mina would be, for example, if the previous group cared or they didn't care, there's a machloka, the halacha in Yoredeya. What happens if a gabbai tzedakah has no money to give to an oni nitzroch, a very urgent case of tzedakah? So the halacha is that the gabbai tzedakah has to borrow money and repay it from later donations, right? Omrim lilvoi. So he has to borrow money and give it back. What's the problem? The problem is the person giving tzedakah the next day is like a neder. So if you give tzedakah on Tuesday, it's like you're making a neder that you want to give tzedakah on Tuesday, right? But your tzedakah, that's going to pay for the money given yesterday. So you're not mekayim your neder because it's too early. Right? It's not the zaman chiv of your neder. So according to the Rashi on the Gemara, you could not borrow money for tzedakah and then use later donations to pay for it because the person's not mekayim his neder. It's not the zaman chiv yet. Mashein kein Rashi on the Rif, the person bringing the tzedakah wouldn't mind. So the Rogachev Gaon made enough kamina there. So it's depending which Rashi you're going to follow, there'll be enough kamina. I mean, little voice, you know, I mean, little voice, right? The Rebbe wanted to say that lav davka, and it could be that Rashi on the Rif is just a beer on the Rashi on the Gemara, and the reason that loy moti zman chiyuvayit is not the zman chiyuv yet is because it's based on the neder. By neder, you look at the das of the noider. So the person making a neder obviously has in mind, those families had in mind when they brought their korban etzim, they must have known that sometimes these days would fall out on Shabbos. So what were they thinking? So to avoid machloikas, there's no question, nobody wanted to take away their earlier day from the previous family. God bless Shalom, especially with the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't want to make machloikasim. So the neder must have been in such a way that each family thought, that we'll bring on, let's say, Chof Av, and if Chof Av is Shabbos, we'll bring the next day. That was the neder l'chatchila. So from here, l'choyik, l'avdavka araya, whether omen lilvos or not lilvos, and afkamina also, l'gabi yotzites. So a person who makes a tainis on a yotzit, or giving stock on a yotzit, that's a begeder of a neder. So if you do it once, you have to be, and so on. So what happens if the yotzit falls out on Shabbos? So you can't fast on Shabbos, you can't give the stock on Shabbos too. So is it nidchet to the next day? Yesh Omin, some of the Achronim say that these minhagim, which you can't do on Shabbos, are nidchet to the next day. And Yesh Omin do it earlier. So according to the Rogachev, it's not the Zaman Chiyuv yet. Erev Shabbos isn't the Zaman Chiyuv, it's like a neder. Therefore you'd have to do the minhagim of the Yotzeit, like the Tainis, you'd have to do it on the next day. Right? However, Bichlal, if it's Tolle and the Das HaNoideh completely, and the Das HaNoideh would be that when it's Shabbos, he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Vosfriya, the earlier the better, right? Mitzvah Bol Yotcha Altach Mitzvah, don't delay doing the Mitzvah. Therefore, according to that, it would be better to give the Tzedakah and have the Tainis on Erev Shabbos. So, Machloikas Achrayim, I'm interesting what one does with Minhagi on your sides. Now, have a unique thing for you. Right, so I wanted to show you something. It's a bit of a complicated gematria, so I worked out in Lego for you. Today is the yotzeit of the Rebbe's father, of Levi Yitzchok Schneerson. And the Rebbe's father was a grosser, mekubel, bokin, shas, poskim, everything, right? Born in 1878 and tragically passed away in Russia in 1944 in exile. And he left behind ksavim which the communists stole or destroyed and the... But we have a few things which he notes which he wrote on the margins of his of the Chumash which he had or the Zohar which he had, which were later smuggled out of Russia by his widow and printed up. So we have some svarim of his and so on. So one of the amazing gematches from Rav Levick is as follows. Now the pasuk says, and this week's parasha makes mention of the obvious, you know this, right? The pasuk says Ata Shalom, Vescha Shalom, Vecholasher Shalom, right? So those three shaloims refer to the three avos. Avram Vinu, the pasuk says, "Va'ato tovo levasecha b'shaloim." By Yitzchak, by Yilchum me'itoy b'shaloim, and by Yaakov, we have v'shavti b'shalom on Beis Avi. So we have three shaloms, each one of them, and those shaloms correspond to the three avos. Va'ato, you. Revealed in front of me, chesed, that's got to do with v'ato is gematria noitze chesed. So chesed shaykh Avram. Beischo, bias, is the second middle, which refers to Yitzchak, number two. And koil is Yaakov, which is Tiferes. So the three shalom refer to the avos. Now let's look at the names of the avos. Avraham is 248, you see? Avram is 248, Yitzchak is 208, and Yaakov is 182. The length of their lives were 175, 180, and 147. So if we total up the years they lived together, is 502 altogether. If you add up the gematria of the names, gives you 638. But added up gives you 1140. So 1,140 is the names and the years of the avos. It's a very unusual gematria. Who else does that sort of gematria? The long Birim al-Pi Kabbalah, I didn't understand properly, and I can't really give over, but this is just the thumbsis. Now, Shalom, three times. Shalom is 376, okay, with four oisiyas, gives you 380. And there's three Shaloms with the three always. Right? 380 times 3 right, is 1140. Right? So that's so the three times Shalom gives you the years and the length of life of the three envoys. Okay, I'll tell you an interesting, fascinating story about Vlevik. He was the Rav in Nikolaev for about 32 years, and he was working against the Russian communist government, who were extremely anti-Semitic and tried to uproot all the Rabbonim and Yiddishkeit in Russia. And they wanted a Hechsher. They wanted a Hechsher on the Matzahs, because they knew the Yidden wouldn't eat Matzahs without a reliable rabbinical Hechsher. And he was almost the one surviving Orthodox rabbi in Russia that people trusted. So they went to him and said, you've got to give a Hechsher. And he said, only if you let me send Mashgichim to all the factories. And they gave way. Right? This was amazing. This was in the 1940s in Russia. They gave way and they let him send Mashgichim around. And it was very particular. One time there was a train full of grain going under a bridge. Water dripped on the train, and he passed the whole cargo of the train. It wasn't allowed to use it for the matzahs. And Kahina Rabbo, so many stories of his mysterious nefesh. Somebody wanted to have a chasni, gets a knock on the door in the middle of the night. Two KGB officers, high-ranking officers, both Jewish, wanted to get married. And they said, we're coming, and they were wearing veils in the night. You're not allowed to know who we are. And we want you to be Masada Kiddushin for us. He managed at the last minute to get eight people. He was looking with him and the Chosin. They made nine. And even the Chosin had a veil on. Right? So they're standing in his house. So where's number 10? And he realized there's a KGB official outside watching him the whole time. It was Jewish. They called him in. Says, you make up the minion. And the fellow comes in. They made the minion. Chosin Kala both with the veil on. And the Chasna took place. Eventually, tragically, he was arrested and sent off into exile. But even there, he didn't give up, and he was encouraging Yiddishkeit and comforting and advising people in Kazakhstan. Now, Hayoyim Ashtem Yoytzim B'Chodesh Aviv, another example for you. Chodesh Aviv, right, the Geula, this week's parasha makes mention of the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. What's Aviv? Spring. Look at the word Aviv, Aleph Beis, Yud Beis, okay? So the Geula is connected up to Chodesh Aviv, because it says it's Chodesh Koisharos is the Lashon, yeah? Chodesh Kosher Lotzes, Chodesh Nissan, it's got to do with the Geula. Look at the word Aviv, Aleph Beis, Yud Beis. So Aleph Beis is, Aleph plus Beis is three, that's the three Ovois. So in the Zechus of the Ovois, there has to be the Geula. And the Geula, it affects the Ovois as well, Avram Avinu and Yitzhak and even Yaakov. Yaakov had a clear promise, Onochi Alchol Gam Oloy, a double Lashon, not just Yitzhias Mitzrayim, but even Yitzhia in the Geula Asida. So that's Anochi Alchol Gam Oloy. And there'll be Gula for Yitzhak and Avram as well, the Aleph Beis. Now, Aleph Beis is three, but Aleph stands for Avraham, and Beis is Yitzhak and Yaakov. The Medrash says, V'gatem el ha-mashkoif, el shteyam zuzois, and mashkoif is b'schus Avraham, odol godol ba'anokim, the Medrash Rabbah, and the shteyam zuzois is Yitzhak and Yaakov. So Avram is like head and shoulders above everybody. He's the first one, so he's like across the top, that's the one. And the two on the sides, that's Aleph and Beis, that's the Avos. Notice the Avos start with Aleph, with Avram's Rosh Tevis, and the Avos finish with the last letter of Yaakov with the Beis as well. Right? So that's Aleph Beis Avraham. Starts the name. Avram also starts off with Aleph Beis as well. Now, Yud Beis is Klal Yisrael, Yud Beis Shvatim. So the Gula is for all the Yud Beis Shvatim. And remember, Chodesh Nissan, when we say the Nasi, there's a minhag to say the Hiratzon, and even if you are a Levi, you are a Kohen, you still say the Hiratzon. Because we all have a Shai, even if you know you're not definitely from Shevet Reuven, you're saying the day of Shevet the Nasi, of Shevet Reuven, you still say the Hiratzon, because we all have a Shaychas Beruchnis, at least, Beruchnis Ibor, there could be a connection with Yon Neshama to other Neshamas from different Shvatim as well. So Yud Beis Shvatim. But specifically, how are the Shvatim divided up? 10 and 2. Because 10 Shvatim, and so Shvatim were sent earlier off into exile by Sancheyev, right? So they disappeared. They're lost to us. And there's two Shvatim left, Yehud and Binyamin. So Yud Beis, 10 and 2. 10 Shvatim, and then 2 Shvatim. Now, look at Yud Beis again. Yud Beis is Rosh Tevis, Yehud and Binyamin, right? The two Shvatim who remain, Yud Beis, Yehud and Binyamin. And Yehud and Binyamin, Choser, is Gematria Yaakov. They are the main children of Yaakov. The kings come from, who's the first king? Was Shaul HaMelech for Binyamin. And subsequently, the main Malchus is Malchus based David, which comes from Yehuda. Binyamin was the second child of Rachel, and Yehuda says Vatamod Miledes. He was the end of the first group of the Bnei Leah. Beis Hamikdash was between Yehuda and Binyamin. So that's the core of Klal Yisrael, is Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin is Yaakov and the Beis Hamikdash. So this concept of the Chodesh Aviv is the Geula of Klal Yisrael. Right. Oh yes. I'll just finish off with this point. Rav Levick wanted at one point. He wanted to get the Rebbe Rashab was his the Babich Rebbe at the time. He pushed very hard with all his contacts in Kalayev. They should accept him as the Rav. And they, in Yekhtunislav. So he went to get smicha from Rav Chaim Biska. And Rav Chaim sees this Hasidish younger man coming in, and he wasn't going to make it easy for him. So he fared him very, very, very extremely difficult fare. And he passed with flying colors. There was nothing he asked, which Rav Levi Yitzchak didn't know how to answer. And while he was there, any questions which came at that time, then he asked him to answer as well. And one question which turned up, was somebody turned up in a great emergency. It was Sukkos. They'd forgotten to make an Erev Chatzeros. So were the people allowed to carry in the Chotzer? They had it, right? So he asked, did they have a sukkah? So yes, a sukkah. So he told them the sukkah, the din is that the sukkah alone is ma'ariv. The sukkah, even if you don't have food together, but the fact that the sukkah is the ikkah and the food is in the sukkah, so that itself creates the eruv. He also went to Rav Chaim Meisels of Lodz. He got smicha from him as well, and other people also. These communists, when they came to his house, they confiscated his smicha certificates and all the thousands of kisvei yad which he had. But anyway, mitzvah Hashem in zechus of learning some of his Torah, which should be zecher for the geula, and all the rest of his kisovim should be freed also from the goddess. So right. Yeah, can I ben a kasha on that? Rotsa kodesh baruch hu zakas tzvel efichu chibolim to mitzvah shenema. Yisgadal, Yisgadal, Shmei Rabo. All the same young people, same young Israel. All of his man,